Today's share in the Daf Yomi is for us going to be Ksubos, Daf Nun Vav Mibbeis, and Nun Zayin. Again, we're trying to make up a little bit of time already now as we enter Elul because of the days that we're going to lose and not be able to give Shiurim on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the first and last days of Sukkot. In any event, we're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Helen Frucht, Chaya Bas Yehoshua, and also Nancy Domroff. I don't have her Hebrew name. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. So we begin on Nun Vav Omud Beis at the two dots, about 10-15 lines down from the top. And we begin by quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said that Rav Meir Omer Kol HaPolches V'chule, that anybody that has less than the 200 minimum for a Besula and the 100 minimum for an Almana is considered as having a Be'ila Znus. Rav Meir is very strict that you must have the Ksuba, the full Ksuba written out. There can't be any deductions like Rabbi Yehuda had done, the Hiskabalti, that the woman can say that she received it even though she hasn't. Rabbi says, if you don't have the full Ksuba, minimum base Ksuba of 200 for a man who's marrying a Vesula and 100 for a man who's marrying an Amana, then it's considered a Bilas Nus. Their relations with each other aren't considered proper. So the Gemara starts off and says, this implies, Kol HaPolches Afilu Bitna. This implies even if they orally lower the value of the Ksuba. The woman says, yeah, I received 100, I received 50. So Rav Meir's understanding is, even if it's not written document, but even if she were to just say, I'm receiving already 100 or 50 respectively, that wouldn't be good. Alma, what do you see from here? Kosavar Tino Batel the Isla. You see from here that Rav Meir holds that any negation of the base ksuba of 200-100 is ignored. If the woman says, even an oral tonight, that she says she received the money, that isn't going to be taken off, and the ksuba remains at the base 200-100. The kivan de omar law, less lech elamana. But, however, since he did say to her, I'm trying to pull this fast one over here and not pay you the 200 as a basula, I only want to give you 100, nevertheless, since he said that, like even to all my law, he said to her, less lichalamona, I'm trying to knock it down to 100 instead of the 200, or 50 instead of the 100. So even though the tanai is batel, so even though she agreed to it, even though in fact it doesn't take effect and she's entitled to the full 200 or the full 100, lo somcha daito v'habi lo bilos v'bilas nos. She doesn't really feel 100% comfortable that she's going to get the full 200-100. She's thinking in her mind, I might not win in court, I might have a problem over here, and I'll only get 100 or 50, so therefore, this is considered if she doesn't have a ksuba, according to a mayor, of 200 or 100 respectively, and therefore, it is considered bilas nos. So this is the opinion of a mayor, that even an oral statement, an oral declaration by her, that she's giving up that 100 or giving up the 50 in the case of the Besula and the Amana, respectively, it is going to make it a Bilas Nus. Gemara says, wait a second, Voshamina Lele Rav Meir, but we already have heard that Rav Meir's opinion is, the Omar, call a Masna, Mashkosa B'Torah, to know a bottle. If somebody makes a Tanai against what's written in the Torah, there's a famous rule, if you Masna against Mashkosa B'Torah, to know a bottle. Your Tanai is null and void, and in fact, the deal, the kiddushin in this situation goes through. For example, we had said that somebody makes a tanai that says, I'll marry you, but there's no share ksus viona, so there is no tanai, but the kiddushin take effect. But the implication is that's only by a deraisa, habid derabanan, by a din derabanan, such as the 200 and 100 of the ksuba. Right now we're working with the assumption that this is a din derabanan. The implication would be, to know kayim, that it is a valid tanai, because this isn't a tanai against Masha Kosa B'Torah, so therefore the tanai would work. So how can Rav Meir say over here that the tanai doesn't work if it's an oral tanai against the derabanan ksuba of 200-100? Shmuel says that he doesn't hold that it's derabanan. Ksuba Rav Meir, ksuba deraisa. Rav Meir holds that the ksuba is a din deraisa, and therefore any tanai doesn't work, whether it's written or oral. But in this situation, it would be considered a bilas nus if she doesn't have the full confidence that she's going to get the 200 or 100, and that's the point that Rabbi Meir is making. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, we have another brisa that tells us that Rabbi Meir's opinion is, kol hapolches l'psula b'masayim ulamon mimona. Again, if you deduct from the base minimum of the basula's 200 zuz, and the amon is 100 zuz, again, amon is 100 zuz, So the din is harei zubi laznos. That's Rav Meir's statement. That's what we have in the Mishnah, and the Brisa just reiterates. But here we introduce a new opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer Rashoy. This is not only b'di'evid good. This is lechatchila allowed to be done. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that it is not considered to be laznos if they both agree to it. Therefore, it is allowed. Rashoy is permitted even lechatchila. And this would be true for both a oral or a certainly written document that states that she's willing to accept less. Review, that's somewhat of a compromise position, as we've already learned. Review the Omer, Rotzo Kosev Lipsula Shtar Shomosayim, V Kosev Slovis Kabati Michomana. Yehuda's opinion, as we had in the Mishnah, is that, yes, you can have this 200 written in the Ksuba, but then she's allowed to write a document that states that it is accepted that she already got 100. In other words, she writes a receipt for 100 of the 200, or for an almana, lamana mana, the hikos seves lo iskabati michol chamishim, or she can write that she's only entitled to 100, but she's already received 50. So this was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion of the Mishnah, and that's reiterated here in the Brisa. Now, this is only if you write it out, kosev this shover. So in this situation, Rabbi Yehuda is in agreement with Rabbi Meir that an oral declaration is no good. But a written declaration is good. Whereas Rav Yossi had said that both an oral and a written declaration would be good. So this is the main machlokas that we're going to be focused on the next part of the Shia, is this machlokas between Rav Yossi and Yehuda. We know Rav Meir's opinion, that's easy, straightforward, we're not going to be discussing it right now. But the machlokas between Rav Yossi and Yehuda is the part we're going to focus on. So Rav Yossi says that even an oral declaration is going to be perfectly acceptable, and Yehuda says only a written declaration is going to be acceptable, but an oral declaration will not knock down. If she says it's kabalti, that will not knock down the ksuba from the 200 and 100. So Gemara says, now, the sova Rabbi Yossi Rashoi, does Rabbi Yossi lechatchila, an oral declaration is good, or mini, but we see that we have a brisa and it seems to say otherwise. The brisa says, ein osin kesuvas isha metaltlin, you're not allowed to make a woman's kesuba be paid off with metaltlin. You can't designate metaltlin to pay off the woman's kesuba. Why? Mipnei tikkun olam, because of tikkun olam, because it won't be good that way. Why not? Because they could easily be lost. As Rashi says, in Dibra Maschum, Mpnei Tikkun Olam, Shema Yovdu, maybe the metaltlin will be lost, or they'll go down in value, Dumeyim, their value will go down, and therefore she won't get the full benefit of her Kesuba. So that's called Tikkun Olam. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. And now, along comes our Rav Yossi, Omer Rav Yossi, V'chima Tikkun Olam, Yeshuzeh. How does this help to say that we shouldn't make metaltlin over here to be designated to pay for her Kesuba? What type of tikkun olam is this that you're saying? The metaltalin aren't in a set value, en ketsuvin, and therefore they can go down in value. As Rashi says in Dibur Maskil, en ketsuvin, en demay en ketsuvin, metaltalin are never a set value. The mokre umosle, they constantly go up and down, inflation, deflation. We're all very familiar with that. So therefore, even though they're estimated to be 200 at the beginning, who says it's going to be 200 now? They may be only 150 now. The prices go down. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that we don't rely upon metaltlin because their value isn't set. Now, Tanakama, Nami ain't osin kama. How is Rabbi Yossi really different than Tanakama? Tanakama said also, we don't do this because their price isn't set. So what is Rabbi Yossi adding onto the Tanakama? So Gemara says, isn't this what Rav Yossi is really saying? When do we say that you can't do this? When he didn't give achrayis for these metaltalin. But the Tanakhama is saying, if he did accept himself achrayis for them, so then you don't have to worry about them getting lost or them going down in value. Because he said, okay, I'm guaranteeing that these metaltalin are going to be worth the 200. And if they're not, then I'll make it up. So that's the sheet of the Tanakhama. When he's Mekabel Achrayis, you can do this. However, along comes Rav Yossi, Lameimar, Rav Yossi comes to add, and he says, no, even Ki Kibel Olav Achrayis, he says, even though he's accepting upon himself Achrayis for, let's say it's lost, Amai Osin, he shouldn't be allowed to do this because Havlo En Kitzuvin Upokasin, because the value can go up and down. And therefore, even though you're accepting upon yourself Achrayis, the value of that is going to change. So yes, okay, I'm accepting upon myself the achrayis for this metaltlin. So if it's lost, I'll make it up. But the metaltlin are no longer worth 200, they're worth 150. And therefore, that's what Rav Yossi is adding over here, that this is not a good thing to do. Now, how is this a stira in Rav Yossi's shita? Because hashta, now, uma hasam, the dilma pachase, in the case where maybe they'll go up and go down, we say that the wife would be cheated out of collecting her ksuba. You see, Chayish Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi is concerned about that, that the value of the talent will go down. So Hocha Devadai Kopachas Lo Koshike. So in our case, where she's making an oral declaration that she's received part of her ksuba, so it definitely is going down. So how come Rav Yossi is not concerned over there? There seems to be an inconsistency, Rav Yossi. I'm concerned over here that the Tikkun Olam is not going to work because in ksuvim they're not set price, but here the ksuba is definitely going down in price. So how come Rav Yossi allows that? So I don't understand, the Gemara says. How can you tell me Rav Yossi says l'chaklil allowed to do this when he says he doesn't let you do it for metalklim because their price isn't set? So Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, the two are totally different. How can you compare the two? Why is it a stira? He says, Hasam, in the case with the metalklim, lo yodo de tochel. There's no guarantee that they're going to go down in price. So she is assuming she's getting the full amount of the ksuba. That's what Rav Yossi says. In that situation, you can't designate metalklim, because she's not agreeing that they're going to go down a price. They may go down a price, but she's not agreeing to that. Whereas in our case, here she says, he's offering me only 100. I'm willing to take it by writing his kabalti. So here she is in full agreement. That's why Rav Yossi has no problem here with an oral stipulation, with an oral statement saying that she will not go and take the full 200. She's saying his kabalti to 100, as opposed to the metaltalin, where she wants the 200, and she's assuming it's going to be 200. She's not assuming that they're going down. And therefore, that's why the two cases aren't comparable. Maisa Shoya, Achosei de Rami Bar Choma, the sister of Rami Bar Choma, having a sibyl Rav Avya, was married to Rav Avya. We turn to Nunzayin Amad Aleph. And unfortunately, Irkatz Ksubasa, she lost the Ksuba. Now, we know Halacha L'maisa, the man and woman can't live together without a Ksuba. But this wasn't clear at that time. So also, the comment to Rav Yosef, so she went to Rav Yosef to ask him, what should she do? Does she need to write a new ksuba? So Amalu, so he went to the people that came to him and asked him the shayla, and he said, this opinion of Rav Meir is that you're not allowed to have a wife. You can't be with a wife without a ksuba of 200 or 100. Otherwise, it's called bilas nus, is only the opinion of Rav Meir. The Chachamim disagree. A man is allowed to live with his wife without having a ksuba. Shtayim v'shalosh shanim below ksuba, even 2 or 3 years without having a written ksuba, because it's a tonight ksuba that she can collect it anyway, so it's not considered bilas nus. As Rashi says, "Diva maskal avol chacham omrim, the less lon lemechash." We don't have to be concerned that she's not going to collect her base ksuba of 100 and 200, because we don't have to be concerned. The less lon lemechash mishum mismar daito tevi bilas nus. We don't have to be concerned that she's worried that she's not going to collect the ksuba. She knows it's the tonight of the ksuba. So therefore, even if she doesn't have a written ksuba, the chacham say a man can live with his wife and it's not called bilas nus. So therefore, based upon this, the opinion of the Chachamim is that, okay, she lost the ksuba, no problem, live with your husband, and you're allowed to live with him even without a ksuba. Amar Abai, Abai said, I'm not happy with this answer. He says to his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, for Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, but we have a different opinion of what Shmuel's opinion was, from Rav Nachman, who said, Halacha ki Rabbi Meir b'gzeiro sop. We have rules, we're in Erevin, tells us certain rules as to how we paskin. And usually, we paskin against Rav Meir. The Gemara there tells us in Erevin that Rav Meir was so smart, he could argue both sides of every argument. So he could say something was tar, and then they would argue with him and say it's tummy, and he would prove to them that it was tar. Then they say, okay, it's tar, and then he would prove to them that it was tummy. So he could bamboozle them, so to say. He was so smart, he could turn circles around them. So we don't posit like Rav Meir because we can't understand his opinion. So in general, we don't posit like Rav Meir. However, if Rav Meir says there's a gzeir over here, even though we don't understand him, we better follow Rav Meir. When Rav Meir says we have to be concerned about something, even if we don't understand them, let's be concerned about it. You don't play games with Rav Meir's gezeiros. So therefore, Rav Nachman said, name of Shmuel, that we always follow Rav Meir's gezeiros. Halacha Rav Meir gezeiros up. So this is a gezeiro over here, that you can't go and live with your wife without having ksuba, and therefore it's considered bilas nus if you don't have a ksuba, and that's why Abaye tells Rav Yosef that this woman who lost the ksuba needs to get a new ksuba written right away, or she can't live with her husband. So Rav Yossi says, oh, if that's what it is, if this is the opinion that you heard, so then, zil ksovla. So go write her a new ksuba in order to go and allow her to live with her husband. And this is the halacha l'maisa. We tell people that they have to make sure that the wife always knows the ksuba. Under the chuppah, they tell the wife, you have to hold on to the ksuba. She gives it to her mother, usually, and keep it in a safe place. You have to know where it is, and this is the halacha l'maisa. She doesn't have to have it in her physical possession, but she has to know where the ksuba is at all times. And rachman l'slam, if there's a fire, and the ksuba is destroyed, or any other situation where the ksuba is destroyed, so they have to write a new ksuba as soon as possible. She's not allowed to live with her husband without having ksuba. Okay. Mark continues and says, we're going to have two opinions for Eretz Yisrael. The first one, Rav Dimi, and the second one is Ravin's opinion as to what the machlokis is between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda under what circumstances. Again, Rav Yossi says that a oral declaration is acceptable, and Rav Yehuda says only a written declaration is acceptable to be poches to ksuba, but an oral declaration is not. So Ravin and Rav Dimi are going to have different opinions as to under what circumstances this machlokis is in existence. When do they agree, and when do they not agree with each other? So, to start off, Ki also Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he taught them the following thing. We often have Amoraim that come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and then from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and would transfer the Torah back and forth between the two great places. Okay, so Rav Dimi says, I heard, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. The Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi said over the name of Yeshua ben Levi, who said it over the name of Bar Kapara. The machlokes between Rav Yossi and Yehuda is only batechila. Now we'll explain in a moment what batechila means and what basof means. We'll have three stages of which it's possible to refer to stage one, stage two, and stage three. Obviously, it's a relative batechila and a relative basof. So stage one doesn't have to be one, and the sof doesn't have to be stage three. Stage two, relative stage one, is also basof, and stage two, relative stage three, is also batechila. Now, that didn't make any sense. We'll see in a moment more. But the machlokes, according to the opinion of Rav Dimi, is only batchila. The Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda only arguing, Rav Yossi saying that the oral stipulation is good, and Rav Yehuda saying that the oral declaration is not good, so this is only a machlokes batchila, which we'll define in a moment. Avo basov, but at the end, which we'll also define in a moment, both Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, ledivri hakol, eino mochelis, that her oral declaration at that point in time doesn't negate the ksuba, and she's still entitled to the 200-100. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rav Dimi tells us that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was, no, bein bezu, whether it's batchila, or bein bezu, whether it's basov, there still is a machlokis over here between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether an oral declaration is good. Again, Rabbi Yossi saying it is good, and Rabbi Yehuda saying it's not good. So it looks like, at first blush, there's a big machlokas over here between Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi saying the machlokas is only by tchila, but there is no machlokas by sof, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no, there's a machlokas both by tchila and by sof. However, the Gemara now tells us, Amar Rabbi Yavo, Rabbi Yehuda says that, in fact, L'didim efarshli minei Rabbi Yochanan, I myself heard from Rabbi Yochanan himself, that he said, the Anor, Rabbi Yochanan said, I, the Rabbi Shulman Levi, lo palginon ahadadi. We, in fact, do not argue with each other. My opinion and Rabbi Shulman Levi's opinion, Rabbi Yochanan said, are perfectly consistent with each other. There's no machlokas. Because how do you define batchila and basof? That's critical. My batchila, what does it mean when Rabbi Shulman Levi said the machlokas is only batchila? The Kama Rabbi Shulman Levi. So Rabbi Yochanan says, I agree with that, that there's a machlokas batchila. Tchilas chuppah, it means when you enter into the chuppah. That's stage one in my stages one, two, and three that we're now going to be referring to. So in stage one, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds that that's where the machlokas is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says, even in stage one, at the beginning of the chuppah, when they enter into the chuppah, an oral declaration will work according to Rabbi Yossi, and it will not work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the only place where they have the machlokas. Well, myself, when he says at the end there is no machlokas, they both agree, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that an oral declaration is not good, so then that means sof bia. That's stage three. We skipped stage two. They don't make any statement about stage two. Stage two is the start of the bia, which means the end of the chuppah. Stage two is referred to as either the end of the chuppah or the beginning, which means before they go and consummate the marriage. And stage three is sofbia after they consummate the marriage. Again, three stages over here. So tchila could be either stage one in relation to stage two, or it could be stage one in relation to stage three. Or, as we'll see, it could be stage two in relation to stage three. So therefore, this concept that there's a machlokis is only going to be in stage one, at the tchilas chuppah. There is no discussion, no machlokas over here, no mention as to what the halach would be in stage two, sof chuppah, or what we call tchilas biyah. And they all agree, Rav Yossi is molded to Rav Yehuda in stage 3, Sof Bia, that in fact there is no machlokes. They both agree, it's Sof Bia, that an oral declaration doesn't work. So that's the understanding that Rav Yochanan had of Rav Yehuda Levi. There's a machlokes in stage 1, but no machlokes in stage 3. And then, V'chi ka'amino anah, Rav Yochanan says, when I said, bein bezu, machlokes, that there's a machlokes in both stages, I was talking about stage 1 and stage 2. I was talking about tchilas chuppah, v'sov chuppah, which also could be called tchilas bia. Tahab dihi tchilas bia. So therefore, Rav Yochanan says, I hold that there's a machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda in stage 1 and stage 2. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi agrees that there's a machlokes in stage 1. He doesn't make a statement about stage 2, and we both agree in stage 3 that there is no machlokes. So according to this understanding of Rabbi Avohu, there is no machlokes between Rav Yehoshua ben Levi and Rav Yochanan. There is, of course, a machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, but where that machlokes is, both Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, where they agree and where they have machlokes, that there is no machlokes on between Rav Yehoshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, I know this was a little bit complicated, so we'll say it just one more time. The bottom line is understanding, according to Rabbi Avohu, is that in stage 1, the opinion of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi is there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Yossi. Rav Yochanan doesn't argue with that. In stage 2, Rav Yochanan says that there is still a machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, but we don't have anything about Rav Yehuda ben Levi arguing that. And Mestama, he would agree with that. And then in stage 3, everybody agrees that there is no machlokes in Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yossi is mode to Rav Yehuda that in stage 3, an oral declaration doesn't work. Again, Rabbi Avohu's understanding is there is no machlokes between Rav Yehuda ben Levi and Rav Yochanan, as opposed to Rav Dimi, who said that there was a machlokes between Rav Yehoshua ben Levi and Rav Yochanan. That's the first version. That's Rav Dimi's version. He also, Robin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. He had a different version. He said, Amar Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Mishum Bar Kapara. He said that Rav Yehoshua ben Levi's opinion, that's what this will be referred to, is machlokes lebesof. The machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda is only at the end. Well, again, we'll have to define what it means at the end in a moment. Avo b'tchila, that Rav Yehuda is mode to Rav Yossi, Diri HaKol Mocheles, that an oral declaration works even according to Rav Yehuda at the beginning, Batchila, which we'll have to define in a moment what that means. And Ravin tells us, the Rav Yochanan Amar, Bein Bezu, both Batchila and Basov, I say that there's a machlokes between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. Now, again, according to Ravin, there seems to be a machlokes between Yeshua Levi and Rav Yochanan. But again, according to the second version, according to Ravin's version, again, along comes Rabbi Avohu, Amar Rabbi Avohu, no. L'didim, unfortunately, minei the Rav Yochanan, I directly heard from Rav Yochanan, the Rav Yochanan said, D'anoa, I, Rav Yochanan talking, Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, lo pagino nadabi. Even according to the second version, there is no machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. Because again, it depends how you align the cases, stage 1, stage 2, and stage 3. Because when Rav Yehoshua ben Levi said that the machlokes is only basov, mala basov, the Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, when did he say that there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? That's sof chuppah, which means the second stage. So there's a machlokes, according to this version, between Rabbi Yossi and Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi, only in sof chuppah, in the second stage. Umay tchila, tchilas chuppah. And when do they agree? When is Rav Yehuda molded to Rav Yossi that an oral declaration works? That's Tchilas Chuppah. That is stage 1. So, Machlokes only in stage 2. They agree Rav Yehuda is molded to Rav Yossi in stage 1. That's what Rav Yochanan says is the opinion of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. And he says, I don't disagree with that. V'chi kamina anoa beinzu beinzu machlokes. When I said there's a machlokes in both cases, I was talking about stage 2 and stage 3. Tchilas Bia, which is stage 2, which is Sof Chuppah, and Sof Bia, stage 3, the end of the Bia. So therefore, according to this version, Rabbi Yochanan says, both Rabbi Shimon Levi and I agree that in stage 1, there is no machlokes. Even in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, he's molded to Rabbi Yossi that an oral declaration works. Rabbi Shimon Levi says there's a machlokes in stage 2. I agree with that. And I say that there's also, obviously, a machlokes in stage 3. So therefore, this is the understanding that Rabbi Avohu had, that there is no machlokes between Yehoshua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, albeit it's a different understanding than the first version that we had that Rav Dimi had brought down. Now, The Gemara says, Amar Papa, Rapapa puts his opinion into play over here. And he says, if it wasn't for the fact that we had the versions of Rabbi Avo, Ilab de Amar Rabbi Avo, Lididim, Farshali Mine, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Anov, Rabbi Shumma Levi, Lo Palkino, and Adadi, if it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Avo came along and said that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shumma Levi are in argument with each other, I would have said that they are arguing with each other. Hava Mino, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shumma Levi, Pligi. I would have said, like the original version that we had of Rabbi Dimi and the original version that we had of Rabin before Rabbi Avo came along in both of them, and I would have said, the Rabbi Dimi, the Rabin Lo Pligi, they're not arguing with each other. Rabbi Dimi and Rabin aren't arguing with each other, and only Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shumma Levi are arguing with each other. Because I would have said, my sof to come a Rabin, when Rabin had said that they're only arguing in the sof, I would have said that meant sof chuppa. And umay tchila to come a Rabbi Dimi, and when Rabbi Dimi said that they're Yeshua B'Levi is holding that Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi are arguing only in the beginning, that he said the Machlokes is only B'Tchila, I would say Tchila's Bia, which is the beginning of the Bia, which is the end of the Chuppah, which is stage two. So they both would be saying the same thing. So if it was up to me, Rav Papa, he would have said that Rav Dimi and Ravin weren't arguing and that there's a Machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Yeshua B'Levi. But Rabbi Avo came along and said, that's not it. So therefore, I will defer to Rabbi Avo's opinion. Now the Gemara says, Michael Mashler, why is Rabbi Papa telling us, I would have said it this way, but now that you tell me Rabbi Avo says it that way, I'll defer to Rabbi Avo. Why was Rabbi Papa saying that the Machlokas would have been preferable to have it being between Rabbi Yochanan and Shuvan Levi, rather than the way Rabbi Avo said that the Machlokas is really between Ravin and Rav Dimi? So Gemara says, because Hakam Mashvelon, the Chiddush over here is, the plige trei amaroi ataima de nafshayu lo plige trei amaroi aliba de chanamora. Bottom line is, it's better to say that there's a machlokus over here in Svara, as opposed to saying there's a machlokus as to what they heard. And you can see this in Tosos, in Dibur Masav lo plige, about seven lines up from the bottom, where we have Yesh Lomar, that the understanding over here is as follows. The e plige Rabbi Yochanan the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Aliba de Chatana, if you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shumma Levi are arguing about one Tana, Lo Chayshinon de Besvarahu de Pligi, then there wouldn't be a problem because they can have a machlokes in terms of Svara. The Lo To Bishma'usam, they're not having a mistake in what they heard because they're arguing about the understanding of what the case is, and therefore it's legitimate to say, Elu Elu Diriel Kim Chayim, that you can have a machlokes in Svara. That's perfectly good. But if you're telling me, this is what Rav Papa is saying, Avali Pligi, Ravin, Rav Dimi. If you're telling me that the Machlokas is being Ravin, Rav Dimi, so then they're just having a Machlokas as to what Rav Yochanan said and what Rav Shumma Levi said. But if Rav Yochanan and Rav Shumma Levi, so Shazel Omer Kach Omar, Vizel Omer Kach Omar, so then they're each saying what they heard. They're not arguing about a Svara. No, Echad Behem Tov Bishmuaso. One of them obviously heard wrong. They're each saying, this is what I heard. And if it's not the same thing, then one of them heard wrong. So Rav Papa's chiddush over here is that we would much rather prefer to have a machlokas in Svara, which is legitimate. I hold this way because of this. I hold this way, the other one says, because of that. And that could be a legitimate machlokas, and it could be Elu, the Elu, Elokim, Dirilkim Chayim. So in that situation, we much prefer to have a machlokas in Svara than a machlokas as to what they said. Whereas if you're saying that the machlokas is between Ravin and Rav Dimi, so then one of them heard wrong, and we prefer not to have that type of a machlokes. Again, this was a somewhat complicated sugya. There are two tables in the art school that might be helpful. To a certain extent, they're helpful, but hopefully I set it outside. Now you can go look back in Chazir in those tables. They'll make a little bit more sense. I found the tables to be helpful, but you first have to understand it before you can really make use of the tables. And again, just to quickly summarize, the way that we look at this is there's a baseline machlokas between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, and that's what they're arguing about. Don't forget that that's the whole machlokas, is whether an oral declaration is good. Rav Yossi says yes, and Rav Yehuda says no. And then the machlokas between the two versions of Ravin and Rav Dimi, and with the understanding of Rav Shumma Levi and Rav Yochanan, is under what circumstances do we say that Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda have a machlokas, and under what circumstances do we say that Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda don't have a machlokas. If you constantly keep that in mind, then the Gemara is not as difficult as it sounds. Okay, let's go weiter. This is the beauty of the Daf Yomi. We go weiter. And we start the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Nos de lebesula shneimos or chodesh mishitula baal. This is something we've discussed now for quite a while, that there was a 12-month period of time maximum between the Erisin and the Nisuin. And this, the Mishnah tells us, is from when the husband, this 12-month period starts from when the husband tells the wife, no, I would like us to consummate the marriage. I would like us to have the Nisuin. So, as Rashi points out, Dibur Masa Nosam Basula, Zaman L'chnisasa L'chupa Miyom Shetova Abal Li'achar Shekitcha. It's not exactly from the time of the Erisin, 12 months until the Nisuin. You have the Erisin, and then the husband says to the wife, no, let's do the Nisuin. So she has a right to say, not yet, I want another 12 months. So from the point that the husband says, this is called the Tzviya of the Baal, so then Mishetova HaBaal, that's when you have the 12-month start. Okay. Now, this purpose of this, the Mishnah tells us, is Lefarnes is asked in order for her to go and take care of all of her needs for the wedding. As Rashi says, B'tachshitin, so she can take care and provide all the accoutrements, all the adornments that she needs to get married. And similarly, the Mishnah says, Ukishem Shinosim Le'isha, 12 months, Kach Nosim Le'ish, Lefarnes Isatzmo, 12 months. So this 12-month period of time is needed for the man to be Lefarnes Isatzmo. Rashi says, B'tzorach Yisud of a Chuppah, to prepare for their married life, to prepare the wedding, and to prepare all the needs of the wedding and their married life. So this 12-month period of time could be demanded by her or demanded by him. If they're both in agreement, let's get married sooner. Heter gomer. It's not a din that you must wait that time. This is the maximum amount of time before the wife, if she doesn't agree, or the husband doesn't agree to get married, then they sue in. So then there will be penalties that will kick in. That we'll learn in an upcoming Mishnah. The penalties that start to kick in if the Nisuin doesn't take place after the 12-month period of time when it should have taken place. So then there are penalties that kick in. The ksuba is lowered or the ksuba is raised, depending on who's at fault for not having the marriage occur. This, the Mishnah tells us, is for a besula. Uli Almana, for a woman who was previously married, then she needs only shloshim yom, she can only demand 30 days. As Rashi says, she'eno torachas kol kach b'tachshitin. She doesn't need to spend so much time, a full year, to get all the adornments, all the accoutrements that she needs to get married. She'kvar yesh b'yodah. She already has a lot of that stuff from her first marriage. Now the Mishnah tells us, Higiyaz Mavalon Yisu, if the time is reached, either the 12 months for the Basula or the 30 days for the Almana, if that time is reached and the husband doesn't marry the wife yet, he doesn't take her into Nisuyin, now, Ochlos Mishalo, she is entitled to go and eat by the husband. Even though they haven't done the Nisuin, she now eats by him, and this includes Ochlos Betruma, she's even allowed to eat Truma. As we've learned previously, we're going to learn again in the Gemara, Min Hadin, from the time of the Erisin, the woman who marries a Kohen is now considered Kenyan Kaspo, and she's allowed to go and eat Truma. But the rabbi said, we'll see two reasons in the Gemara as to why this is so. Don't do this. Wait until she's in a Suwa. And here the Mishnah is telling us that this isn't even when there's full Nisuin. It's only, this even occurs that she's allowed to eat Truma because she's now supported by her husband after the 12-month or 30-day period of time, respectively for a Besula or an Almana. So even though they haven't had Nisuin, she's now allowed to again go back to the Beis Din of being able to eat Truma if she marries a Kohen. Now, Gemara Mishnah continues and says, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Nost in law hakol Truma. When the husband now has to support the wife, he can give her Truma. Truma is less expensive. It's much more holy, but it's less expensive than Chulin because not everybody can eat Truma. And by the rules of supply and demand, if something is in great demand, so then the prices go up. So if something is not in demand, the prices go down. So Truma is not in as much demand because only a Kohen can eat it, and only a Kohen when he's Tara can eat it. So therefore, he is allowed every time to say to give her the less expensive Truma, and no, even if she's Tameya, so she can't eat it, so she'll sell it, and she'll support herself in that way. So Rabbi Tarfon says the husband can support the wife just by giving her Truma if he's a Kohen. Now, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. You give her a matzah chulin or matzah truma. You have to give her half chulin and half truma because she's going to be tummy half the time, and therefore she can't eat the truma. So you give her half chulin and half truma. Fine. Mishnah continues and says, the laws are different by Yavam. Rachman al-Islan, if the husband died after the Erisin before the Nisuin, so then the din of Yibam takes effect, and she's to be taken either in Yibam or to do Chalitza. Here we're talking about Yibam by the brother of her dead husband. So the brother, it doesn't entitle her to go and eat Truma if he's a Kohen. Obviously, Reuven, let's say, who dies, was the first husband, who died after the Erisin, is a Kohen. Obviously, Shimon is going to be a Kohen as well. And assuming they're both kosher Kohens, the Yovim Eino Machel B'Truma doesn't give his wife the right to eat Truma. Even though the first husband, after the 12-month period of time, would have been able to give her to eat Truma, but he was talking about before the 12-month period of time, and he dies, Reuven dies, so then the brother Shimon isn't ever going to be able to be machal her in Truma until the Nisuin takes effect, until he does Yibam with her. So also so shish chadashim b'fnei ha'baal v'shish chadashim b'fnei ha'bavim. So in the, for example, in the case where she was 6 months a arusa to Reuven, and then Reuven dies, and now she's 6 months a waiting shomeres yavam to Shimon, so there's a total of 12 months, nevertheless she still can't eat chuma. Davilu kula b'fnei ha'baal, and even if it was 11 months and 28 days that she was a arusa with Reuven, her first husband, and then he dies 1 day before the 12 months is up, and she's only 1 day, yom echad, so in that situation as well, he can't give her chuma. Or even okul b'nei yom, even if it was only 1 day by the arusa, Reuven, her first husband, and he died, and now she's 11 months and 28 days by the yavam. So even in that situation, okul b'nei yom, chosu yom echad b'nei abal, in all of these scenarios, eino ocheles b'chuma. That's because the Yavam doesn't entitle the wife to go and eat truma. It's only when there's the knisa into the marriage by the Yibam that she becomes a full married wife and she's considered kinyan kaspo and she's now allowed to go and eat truma. Now, the Mishnah concludes and says, Zu Mishnah Rishona. This din that we just brought down, that technically she could eat truma under her first husband. There's no second husband here. In the regular case of the first husband, and 12 months go by, he's a kohen, and he didn't take him into Nisuin. The Mishnah just said in the Reisha that she's allowed to go eat Truma. That's called Mishnah Rishona. That was the original din, and we always say Mishnah Rishona lo zaza. We don't take it out, even though we changed it. But here, the Gemara says, based in Shalacharein Amru, but the later based in changed around the din, and we turn to Nun Zayin on the days, and they said as follows, Eino Isha Ocheles Mitruma Achati Kones Lechupa. They said, no, even after the 12-month period of time, we still maintain the Rabbana and Takana not to let her eat Truma for the reasons that we'll mention, the two reasons that we'll mention in the Gemara. Even in that situation, after the 12-month period of time, when the husband's required to support her, but we don't let her eat Truma until she actually has the full chuppah and they're fully married, Nisuin. Okay, Gemara starts off and says, what's the source for this 12-month period of time? Minohani Mili, where did they get this din that an asmachta, that this din, so din the Rabbanan, but where do we get this din from? What was the asmachta that they had? So Amar Chis, Chis says, based upon the pasuk with Eliezer and Laban and Besuel and Rivka, that's all what it's based upon. The Amar Kor, the pasuk says, after Besuel drank the poison that he tried to poison Eliezer, and he died, so then Laban and Rivka's mother took over the negotiations, as the pasuk says, Yomakra, by Yom Rochia Bima. So Lavan, her brother, and her mother, he was Chutzmidik Lavan, he spoke up in front of his own mother. So Yom Rochia Bima, so Lavan speaks up, and the mother speaks up, and they tell Eliezer, Teshav Anari Tanu, no, let Rivka stay with us, Yomim O Asar, days or 10. Now, what does that mean? My Yomim, what does Yomim mean? If you're telling me, Ilei Motre Yomim, they say, let us stay here 2 more days with us, so then, doesn't make any sense. Mishtai inishachi, does a person talk this way? Amrule, they said to Eliezer, Trey Yome, let us stay 2 days. And Mistami, he said, no, I'm a little low. Avram Avinu said to come right now. So after they were turned down for 2 days, does it make sense that they should say, Amrule, Asari Yome? That then they should ask for 10 days? If he didn't allow 2 days, he's not allowing 10 days. So obviously that can't be the understanding, 2 days or 10 days. Ella, my Yome, what does Yome mean? It means Shana. They first asked, let us stay here for a full year. That's the 12 months. That's the asmachta. Yomim so. Because we have elsewhere, and Chumash tells us that when a man sells a house in a Ir Choma, so then he has 12 months in which to go and buy it back. So we see that the terminology of Yomim could mean a year. Where it says, but we also see the terminology that Yomim could be a Chodesh, Veim a Chodesh. So how do we know it doesn't mean let us stay here for 30 days or 10 days? Why are you saying let us stay here for a year or 10 months? Why are you saying that? Because he tells us that there's a din of Chodesh Yomim. So we see that the terminology Yomim could also be a Chodesh. So the Gemara says, no. Amre, we say, Donin Yomim Stam, Yomim Stam. We have over here Yomim in our pasuk with Lavan and his mother talking to Eliezer. It says Yomim Stam. And it said over here, Yomim Stam, Deigulaso. So it's more preferable to learn out Yomim to Yomim, that Yomim means a year, than to say that Yomim means a month. They ain't done Yomim Stam, where it says over here again, Stam, Yomim Tegulaso, from Ad Chodesh Yomim, where we have a qualifier to Yomim with Chodesh. Yomim Shinema Behen Chodesh. So therefore, the Yasmachta makes sense to say that it means Yomim means a year, and this is the Yasmachta that we have to give the Besula a 12-month period of time to prepare for the wedding. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Zeir teaches us, Tana, we learn the following braisa, Kitana, Bein Hi, Bein Aviyah, Yecholun Liakev. A girl who is a Kitana, so either she or her father are allowed to delay the wedding and not have the wedding go on at the 12-month period of time, after which normally the kala would be considered a moredes if she doesn't allow the wedding to go on. But here, if she's a katana, both the father or the girl herself are allowed to postpone having the wedding. So Gemara says, Bishlama ihi motzi ma'akva. We understand certainly why she should be permitted to go and delay the wedding, because after all, she's scared and concerned. She's a katana. Marriage is a scary proposition for this katana, and therefore she can delay going into it. However, why should her father be allowed to delay it? Avia, my nafka lemina, why would it concern the father to delay the wedding? So Gemara says, no. Savar hashtal yoda. She doesn't realize what she's getting into. Now she says it's fine. All of a sudden tomorrow, she's going to say, whoa, I can't believe I'm a married woman. This has a lot of responsibilities with it. And the father's going to say, she's going to come back to me. As Rashi points out, she's going to be more moredis against her husband. She's a young girl, and she can't be in a married situation. It's too much responsibility, too much difficulty for her as a young girl. And they'd say, and she's going to end up leaving him, and she's going to return back to me. But tov way lie, ajati gadol, and she'll stay with me until she becomes a gadola. And the father's going to say, well, we're going to have to go do the whole thing again and spend all the money on the adornments, etc. And therefore, he says, nothing doing. I don't think she's ready to get married, and the father has the right to be ma'aki of the wedding as well as she does. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Levi. Rabbi Abba Levi says, ein poskin ala ketana la'siya kishi ketana. We don't set up a wedding date to go and get married while she's a katana. As Rashi says, shetorah hula, because this is difficult for a young girl to get married, and we maybe arrange the marriage, but we don't actually have them get married. However, I'll post him ala katana, lasia kshigdola, but you can set up the marriage date when she'll become a gedola, even though right now she's a katana. Gemara says, obviously, pshita, why would you think that you can't do that? So Gemara says, no, ma'adatem, I might have thought that we should be choshesh over here, lechosh, we should be concerned that dilma ma'ailo pachado mehashta, that we should say, well, the girl knows I'm getting married in 3 years. It's going to be constantly on her mind from right now, bechosha, and she's going to get weak, and therefore we shouldn't even do that. So come on, Shalom, that you'll have to do that. For our concern, we're not going to go. Gemara then says, I'm a Rav Huna. Rav Huna tells us a din, which we're going to question, Bagra Yom Echad, if the girl is already a Bogera, she's 12 years old and at least 6 months of age, even one day older than that, Viniskacha, and she takes Kiddushin, so she's allowed, of course, to accept Kiddushin on her own at that point in time. Even from a Nara, she can accept Kiddushin on her own, certainly as a Bogeris. So then, we don't give her full 12 months, Rav Huna says. Nos lo shloshim yom kiamana. We only give her 30 days at that point in time. We assume that an older girl like that has already been preparing. Those days they got married at a younger age, so she was already preparing, and she doesn't need a full year to go and prepare, but she would only need 30 days to go and prepare, like an almana, because she's waiting for this for a while now as a bogeris, so she certainly is going to be prepared and only needs 30 days and not a full year. That's what Rav Huna tells us. More questions. This and says, wait a second. We have a brisa that seems to disagree with Rav Huna. Meisrei, the brisa says, Bogra, hare hikitvua. When a woman becomes a bogeris, she is like a woman who is a tvua. In other words, the husband says, let's go set up the wedding date. And isn't that 12 months? My lab kitvua de besula. Isn't it? She's a besula. So isn't it like the regular dinim of the husband saying, let's set the wedding date? And therefore, she should have 12 months. And this price therefore goes against Rav Huna, says she only has 30 days. So Gemara says, no. Rav Huna would answer, lo, kitvua the amana. This is talking about like a tvua of an amana. It was only entitled to 30 days, which is exactly what Rav Huna says. Try again. Try to disprove Rav Huna. Toshma, we learn from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in the Dar. The Mishnah tells us, Bogeres, Sheshoa, Soshnemo, Sochodesh. If the Bogeres has been waiting for 12 months. Now here you clearly see it. That is a 12-month waiting period of time. And this is going to be against the din of Rav Huna. So Rav Elezer Omer, Ho, V'chayev, Balo, Bimzen, Osela, Yofer. Since the husband, after the 12-month period of time, if he's the one that's ma'akiv the marriage, so he has to supply some mazonos, so since he's responsible for mazonos, he likewise is totally responsible for going to be made for her nedarim. No, bottom line is, we're not interested in the din of the darim here. Here we are. You clearly see that the Bogeris has 12 months. Kasha and Rav Huna says she only has 30 days. Gemara says, no, you misread that Mishnah. Amar, read the Mishnah as if it's two separate cases. There's the case of the Bogeres, that's case number one. And the Sheshoas or Shnemos or Chodesh. So the Bogeres only gets 30 days. And likewise, a girl who has the 12 months, she was a Nara, and she has the 12 months. So therefore, in that situation, in where the husband now is responsible to give her the mazonos, if the Bogeres, after 30 days, and the regular younger girl who got married, and is now waiting to have Nisuin, and it's more than 12 months, and the husband's delaying it, so then in both of these situations, the Bulgaris after 30 days, and the Nari after 12 months, so then Rabbi Lezer says, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Ho, Balo, Chai, Ben, Zosel, Yofer, since he now is obligated to support her, so he's also able to go and be made for her Nadar. So the obvious question is, every Nara is only an Nara for 6 months. So if we're talking here about a Nara, then she has 12 months, so it goes into the Bogeris period of time. So the Mepharshim explained that the Bogeris is getting the Kiddushin while she's a Bogeris. Then she only has 30 days. But if she got the Kiddushin while she's a Nara, so then everybody agrees that it extends the 12 months even to her Bogeris period of time. So Rav Huna is okay for now still. He still says that a Bogeris, if she's accepting Kiddushin when she's a Bogeris, so then she only gets 30 days. We haven't disproven that. Try again. And here we are going to disprove it. Toshma, the following brisa. It says, Hama'aris is a besula. If a person does erusin with a besula, so bein shetivo habal v'hi ma'akeres, bein shetivo v'hi u'bal ma'akev, regardless of which one of them is preventing the marriage from going to the second stage, to the nesuim stage, whether the husband asks to marry her and she says, not ready yet, or whether she says, okay, I'm ready now to take the nesuin, and the husband says, not yet, so we give them each 12 months of time. From the time that the husband says, let's set it up, she gets 12 months. Most of the Farshim say that she, if she's the one that says, let's get married now, and the husband needs the time, he also gets the 12 months. So we give the husband the same time that we give the wife. So she gets 12 months. Now, Avolomishas Erisin, but we don't calculate this from the time of the Erisin, we calculate this from the time of the Tviya, when the husband says, now, you're in Arusa, and it's a couple of months later, he says, no, let's get married. And then she's entitled to 12 months from then. We don't look at it from the time of the Erisin. And here's the point where it's a stira to Rav Huna. Ubagra, if the girl becomes a Bogeres, harehi ketuah, she's considered already like a tvuah. What does that mean, Ketzad? So, Bogra, yom echav, in iskachi, here we have Beferish against Rav Huna. If she's a Bogeres, and then she becomes Mekudeshes, so it says, nos in losh nemosa chodesh, she still has 12 months. Kasha on Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Bogra, yom echav, in iskachi, he says, nos in losh shloshim yom kiamana. And here the Braisa, Rav Huna's Namora, and here you have a brice against them that says, notes in Losh Nemos HaChodesh, so it's going to be Tiyofta, Rav Huna, Tiyofta. Let me just finish off the brice. It says, Ularusa Shloshim Yom. If she's in Arusa, she only gets 30 days, which is a difficult statement to understand, which we'll question more in a moment. But now, for now, we're interested in the point where it says, Bagra Yomecha Viniskacha, notes in Losh Nemos HaChodesh, this is Tiyofta to Rav Huna, Tiyofta. This is a slugging up of Rav Huna, because he says she gets only 30 days. Here the brice clearly says she gets 12 months. No. We slugged up Rav Huna. What does it mean in the Braisa when it said, Ularusa Shloshim Yom? Mai Ularusa Shloshim Yom? Doesn't seem to make any sense. So I'm a Rapapa. Rapapa says, Ochigamar, this is what the Braisa means. A Bogeres, a girl that was a Bogeres, She'avru Aleo Shnemos HaChodesh Bebagros, and she had 12 months while she was a Bogeres. And the Niskacha, at that point in time, after she's already 13 years and 6 months, so at this point in time, only then, here, we agree that she's had more than enough time to prepare because she's been waiting and waiting and waiting to get married as a Bogeris. A Bogeris would get married, would be considered late. They would get married often as a Nara. So therefore, the Bogeris, who hasn't yet been married, and it's been a full year that she's a Bogeris, so as soon as she gets the Kiddushin, she only has 30 days once the husband says, let's go and make the Erisin into Nisuin, because we presume that she's already ready. Then we quote the Mishnah. He said, "He gives mamvelo nisu. If after the 12 months comes and goes, and the husband is preventing her from getting married, he says, I'm not ready yet. So then he has to support her. And we said she could even eat truma if she was married to a kohen. Amar Ula Ula says, Tvar Torah, the halacha midaraisa is arusa bas yisrael lo chalas mitruma. And as soon as there's the erisin, as we pointed out already many times, as soon as she's meuras to a kohen, a Yisraelis, a Bas Yisrael, that gets married to a kohen, even the first stage of marriage, min hadin, min haTorah, is allowed to go and eat truma. The pasuk says, "Shemah v'chohen ki yiknag nefesh kinyan kaspo v'haynami kinyan kaspo." Anybody that is in the domain of the kohen, whether it's the wife or whether it's an eved or even his animals, so they're allowed to go and eat truma under the appropriate situations. So clearly, the Arusa is now considered Kinyan Kaspo, and technically, Mino Deraisa would be allowed to go and eat Truma. However, the rabbi said, Ma Tam Amreno Chales, we have the Rabbanim who came along and said, no, don't let the Arusa go and eat Truma. So we have two reasons. So the first one is Ula's reason over here, because Shema Yimzugula Kos Bevesa Viha, Vitashke Leochia Velachosa, because you know what's going to happen? They will have given her some wine or food, they'll give her something to eat from Truma, and she's going to bring it home to her siblings, she's going to give it to them. She has it now in the house. She has truma in a house that's not used to eating truma. They're not familiar with the dinner of truma, and the siblings share their goods. They share their candies. They share their nash, and therefore, her brother and sister say, oh, can I have some of that? And she's going to say, sure, you can have some of this, and she's going to give him a piece of cake. She's going to give him a glass of some mashke that is
truma, and all of a sudden you can have a non-Kohen or a non-Kinyan Kaspo eating from truma, and that's a big takala. So that's why the rabbi said, while she's still living in her father's house, between the Erisin and the Suin, she's living in her father's house. So if you give her the permissibility to eat truma, she could chas v'shalom give it to her siblings, and therefore we don't do that. That's the reasoning of Ula. Where it says, if that's true, yihachi, he gives mavelo nisunami. So then why, if she has reached the 12-month period of time and the husband doesn't take her into marriage, why then do we allow it? Why do we go back to the Beis Din? Aren't we concerned she'll bring it home to her siblings? So he says, no, we're not concerned in this situation because hasum duchtu miyachidla. Here, he has to give her three meals a day. He has to go and give her all of her support at this point in time. So he's going to set aside a separate place for her because it's expensive to send food. It's much easier to have here. You have some of my food that I'm having. So they're going to give her a place to eat in his house. And even though she may go home to sleep by her father still, because she's not yet fully married, she's not yet in the sua, so she's going to have a place to eat and she's not going to bring home the food. Shmuel says, if that's true, Elamayata, what about the scenario of a Lokit Kohen, a worker, a poor person, who's a Kohen, who's working by Yisrael? So Lokit Kohen Li Yisrael, Lolecha B'Truma. So if this Kohen is working by Yisrael, we shouldn't allow him to eat Truma. Because Duma also Lamecha Badeh, because maybe when he's working in the Yisrael's house, or the Yisrael's farm, he's going to have his peanut butter sandwich that's Truma, the bread is Truma, and he's going to go and give out some of it to the other workers who are Yisraelim. So why aren't we concerned about that? Someone says, we're not concerned about that because of the following. Because hashta mididhu safule, because they're responsible to feed him. So therefore, midide achle, are they going to come to eat his food? They have the responsibility to give him food. The worker is normally supported by the boss that he's working for. And therefore, there's this little concern over here. He will go and give them truma because they're supposed to give him food and they're obviously not giving him truma. Now, the Tosus in the bottom Tosus brings down, well, what about the other way around? What happens if it was a Yisrael that's working by Kohanim? So in that situation, how come we're not concerned that the Kohanim are going to give them Truma? So the answer is because the Kohanim are very used to this, and they're not going to go give somebody who they have to support, who's not a Kohen, they're not going to give him Truma. We're not concerned about that. Then the Gemara continues and says, Rav Shmuel Yehuda Amar Mishum Simpon. Rav Shmuel by Yehuda says another reason why the rabbis made the gzera that we don't allow the girl to eat truma when she's in Arusa, because of Simpon. Simpon, Rashi tells us, Mishum Simpon is Loshon Simpon who bittel, making something null and void. We have the Loshon, Shover Hamevatel Shtar Kori Simpon. A Shover receipt that nullifies a Shtar is called the Simpon. And he says, Umum Beisha, Obe Behema, Shemavatel Amechach, Kori Simpon. And if a woman is being married and she has mumim that would make it a mekach toz, so, or an animal, if you buy an animal, it has mumim, so it makes it a mekach toz, so that's called a simpon. So, Rav Shmuel Yehuda says that we're concerned over here that maybe she'll have some sort of a simpon that will make it retroactive, the marriage is null and void, and therefore she's really not the kinyan kasbo of the Kohen, and she's a Yisraelis who's eating chuma, and that's a problem. Where says, if that's your concern, so then, even if she went into the chuppah, but didn't yet have the consummation of the marriage, so then she shouldn't be allowed to eat truma. But that's not the case. Once she has nisun, she's allowed to eat truma. Shmuel says, no, in that situation, he would never take her into the chuppah. He would never actually go through the stage of nisun if he didn't have his relatives check her out, or if he didn't check her out in some way to make sure that she doesn't have a simpo and that she doesn't have a mum. Mark continues and says, Elamiyata, if this is true, so then Eved Kohen, Shilakochum Yisrael, so if the Eved of a Kohen, who was bought from a Yisrael, so you have to be concerned also about a mechach tos, that when the Kohen buys the Eved from the Yisrael, lo lecha b'truma, maybe there's a mum there, mishum simpon, and therefore you can't go and feed the Eved until you've checked him out. But that's not the case. As soon as he buys him, the Eved's allowed to eat truma. Someone says, no, simpon by avodin lecha. There is no such thing as a simpon, a mum over here by the Eved. Why is that? Because the Abroi, because it's an external mum, so then he obviously sees it, and he's willing to buy the Eved. The Eved has only one arm. So he says, okay, I'll buy him at a lower price, and I understand that that's his mum. So it's not going to be a simpon. It's not going to be an unrecognized mum, make a mechatos. If it's an internal type of a mum, be the gavoy, and it's not recognized that he has this mum, so who cares? Limlocha koboy, the shabaseso, loich batle, because he's buying him to work. He doesn't care that the guy has a certain base character, or the guy has certain other mumim that are internal mumim. He has some sort of a condition that would not be good for marriage, but who cares? This is not for marriage. This is for working. And therefore, an internal mum over here wouldn't disturb him, and he would still allow him to work as an eved. And an external mum, he would see. And therefore, he accepted it. You're going to tell me, Nimsa Ganov, and we turn to Nuchesamud Aleph. We either find that he's a robber or he's a kabiustus. Rashi tells us his gonev nefashos, he's a kidnapper. So the sale goes through Higio. Why? Rashi says, because there's a presumption. Nimsa ganav kabiustus, Higio shestano ganavim heim. The deal goes through because you should have known and realized that most of them are ganavim or kidnappers. So therefore, there's no mum there.
I, what are you going to say? Ma'ika list the mizuyin o muhtav l'machus, that he's an armed robber, and he's or somebody that was done some sin against the malchus, and he's basically has a capital punishment waiting for him, and therefore it's a mekach tos for that reason. So those things we don't have to be concerned about. Hano kolot islu. If this was the case that he was listed mizuyin or a muhtav l'machus, we would know about it. So therefore, with an eved, there is no concern for simpon, because if it's an external mum, we would know it. If it's an internal mum, it doesn't affect his work. And if he's a ganav or a kidnapper, you have to have assumed that. And if he's an armed robber, or he's muhtav l'malchus, he has a capital price on his head. So you would know about it, because these are things that are publicized. Baruch Hashem, we caught up in Eva Amud today, and with this we conclude today's share.